In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text this Good Friday is Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? In Hebrew, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. This is a heartfelt cry of abandonment. A cry of forsakenness. A cry of dereliction. Because of your sin and mine. Those standing at the foot of Jesus' cross should have recognized Jesus' cry of the opening verses of Psalm 22, where King David desperately cries out to God in his time of trial. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? If they had, then they should have realized that David's words vividly foreshadow this moment, Jesus' crucifixion. Those who stand at the foot of Jesus' cross on Good Friday should have realized that Jesus is completely fulfilling David's words. At this moment, Jesus is living and dying this psalm. This is no accident, no quirk of history, no random coincidence. The Old Testament is saturated with references and foreshadowings and prophecies about Jesus' suffering and death. It is the core, the heart, the central message of Scripture. It's God's plan from before the foundations of the world. His plan is that His creation should be redeemed and restored by the suffering and death of the Son of David, Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And yet, while it's God's plan and it's the heart of Scripture, the truth is, many who are standing at the foot of Jesus' cross just don't get it. They misunderstand Jesus' cry. They think that he's calling out for Elijah to come and to save him. They even offer Jesus a drink of sour wine, and then they wait. They wait to see if Elijah would actually come to save him. But what they don't realize is that Jesus has no need for Elijah. And he has no need for anyone to come and to save him. Why? Because it is for this very reason that Jesus took on human flesh. It is for this moment that he came into the world. He was born to suffer and to die for all people with their sins. And Jesus' cry, it is not a cry for help. It's a cry of abandonment. A cry of forsakenness, a cry of dereliction, a cry of deep despair and anguish and loneliness and sorrow. God the Father has turned his back on his Son. He has abandoned him and left him alone to die a horrific death on the cross. As our hymn tonight says, none would intervene to save. Why? Because Jesus has your sin on himself. Because God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus, who is perfect, sinless, and obedient, has now become the sinner. He is now the murderer, the thief, the liar, the slanderer, the adulterer, and the disobedient idolater. He is now you. He is now me. With your sin, Jesus now suffers your abandonment, your darkness, your death, the very things that you and I deserve for our sin. Jesus is experiencing in his own flesh. But honestly, what do you expect? Sin is alienating. It drives a wedge between God and us and each other. It separates us one from another. Because of sin, Adam and Eve were driven from the garden and separated from God's daily physical presence. Because of sin, we are driven out and separated from God's daily physical presence. We cannot see him or walk with him or talk with him face to face. Sin, it cuts us off from God. It cuts us off from one another. And throughout your life, there are times when you feel like nothing is going right, like the world is collapsing, like no one is watching over you or protecting you. Times when in darkness and in despair, you cry out like David, like Jesus, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But the truth of the matter is, we are the ones who forsake God. We are the ones who turn our back on him. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one to his own way, to his own interests, to his own little life. We have turned from God. But God has never turned from us. God loves you, and he cares enough about you that he willingly chose to be separated from his son just so that he is not separated from you. And Jesus loves you enough that he is willing to take your sin and mine on himself and be separated from the Father and suffer and die for you in your place, so that you may be reconciled to the Father, so that you who are far off from God now may be brought near by the blood of Jesus. What a wondrous, what an amazing love that Jesus shows for you on that cross. He embraces you. He loves you. He is faithful to you, faithful unto death. And now you will never be forsaken in your time of need. God will always be with you because of this moment, because Jesus was abandoned for you. You will never be abandoned by the Father. You will be with him. You will be with God even in the dark and most despairing moments of your life. You will be with him because he will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Dear saints of the living God, remember this faithful word of Jesus in your time of need. When God seems to have forsaken you on your own dark Good Friday, remember this cry of the Son of God calling out to heaven in your place. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then know that God has not turned his back on you. Even though you will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though you are going to be in your deepest, darkest hour, you shall fear no evil, for Jesus is still with you. His rod and his staff, they will comfort you. God has not forsaken you. You are his dearly loved son, marked with the cross of his own beloved son, Jesus. And now there is no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. Your sins are forgiven, and you are reconciled to the Father. You are justified in Jesus. You are safe in him. And because of Jesus, you are never, ever forsaken by God. Not even in the hour of your own death. Amen.